You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. And we spend an hour talking to some very interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. I'm Mandy Dineley and today I'm delighted to be presenting with Penny Carter. Hello Penny, it's great to be working with you again.
Hi Mandy, it's great to be here and once again meeting a wide variety of lovely ladies. On today's show we have some very interesting guests. First up, we have Katie Jane from Katie Jane Tutoring, helping us understand how beneficial tutoring can be. Followed by Sophie Hander from Funky Olive. She will be talking about beautiful bespoke lamp shades. And finally, we have Victoria Page from VIP Therapies, who will be telling us about her work and how essential oils can have such a positive effect in our lives. We're delighted to have them all on the show and are really looking forward to learning about their various businesses.
Thanks, Penny. And so to start today's show, I'd like to welcome our first guest, Katie Jane.
Good evening.
Hi, Katie. Katie, hello. From Katie Jane Tutoring. Now, Katie, it's lovely to have you on the show. To start us off, perhaps you'd like to give us a little bit of background information about yourself and also start to tell us about how you became a tutor.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So I am a fully qualified teacher. And I have taught both in the UK and internationally. After returning to the UK and teaching for another year back here, I had a lot of families that were asking me to provide a bit more targeted support. So I decided that I would start my own business where I focused a bit more on tutoring and providing one-to-one support for lessons that for children that needed a bit of an additional support. And now over the years we've been running for 4 years now and we've grown to have a team of over 60 qualified teachers and we work with children across the ages from 3 right up to 18.
Wow, that's quite a vast age group, isn't it? Where are you based?
So we have teachers based across Central London, West London and Surrey.
Okay, and do you go to the pupils?
Yes, we do. So all of the teachers would travel to the homes of the children.
Okay, lovely. We love anything to do with education, don't we, Penny?
Absolutely. Kate, can I just ask you, you know, you've got so many tutors on your books. How do you go about finding the right people for the fit of the children that you've got?
Absolutely. It's a very important question and a process that we are very thorough with. It started off by having, I've taught both in international schools and in independent schools and state schools. So it started off with teachers that I knew personally and employed them to join the team. And then from there, we work on very much a referral basis. So my quality teachers will refer other quality teachers. We have a strict process where we do a DBS check for all of our teachers. I interview personally all of our teachers. When we speak to a family and they tell us a little bit more about what they're looking for, I know all of the teachers personally and we try to make sure that we match up a teacher that's qualified in the right area and is located near to where they live.
So if you're interviewing a teacher, what sort of skills are you looking for? What would tick the boxes for you?
So we're looking for someone that is adaptable, someone that knows the curriculum, that knows how children's best learning styles, and someone that's able to make sure that they cater their lessons towards each individual's needs.
Okay.
And do you have the children that you have? Are they both from state schools and private schools? Do you have a real mix? And do you notice a difference between the children as far as, because the private schools don't follow the curriculum in the same way, do they, as state schools?
Indeed. So we do notice a slight difference. We have children both from state schools and from independent schools. We also have a specialist SEN team, so we work a lot with children with dyslexia, autism, ADHD, and you tend to find there can be a slight difference. Often the independent school children are working perhaps at a slightly higher level. So they, we would make sure that we do an assessment with every child that we work with, basically an informal one at the beginning, figure out where they are kind of in regards to the levels of the national curriculum, and make sure that we're giving them an extension and support and the confidence they need to kind of really thrive.
As a parent myself, and my son has had a tutor, it's so valuable. It's such a valuable service. And, you know, as a parent, we really appreciate it, what you do. So I suppose matching them up with a pupil, it sounds like you do a really thorough job.
Yeah, we find it really rewarding. I think having gone from being in a classroom situation and also as a teacher, knowing the importance of having a teacher as a tutor. So not only are they working alongside the school, you know, they're very familiar with the curriculum, with the assessments, giving the right feedback so that the children are not going into school having done something that's a bit conflicting with what the school wants. So we always try to work alongside what the school is. And that's why when we personalise it, we make sure we're following the same phonic scheme or handwriting scheme or exam board, depending on the age of the child.
Brilliant.
And if you were being tutored, how long would that take? And at what time of day do you find it most effective? Because if a child's been at school for the duration of the day, I would expect they'd be quite exhausted by the time a tutor reached them.
Yeah, it's a different, children obviously do quite a lot of activities after school, and we classify ourselves as something like that. We make sure that they've come home from school, they have a snack, so it does tend to be after school. But we do also do weekend lessons as well, although we have found majority of parents do like having it in the week. Yeah, we just want to ensure that they're refreshed, but, you know, we keep the lessons engaging and fun, and we include educational games as well where appropriate, so that it's seen as an enjoyable activity rather than a tiring another hour of learning.
So you'd say that the children who are visited by the tutors actually look forward to it. It's an enjoyable session as opposed to
a chore.
And to make sure that it is fun for the children. And we have actually just been reviewed by the Good Schools Guide, who have rated us A, and one of the key facts that they said, thank you, was that, you know, we were personable, the children were really engaged, the parents were really happy, and they're kind of getting a full service where they see a massive improvement in confidence, and that kind of has helped boost their academic grades just as a result of having a bit more confidence. And
fantastic. And you also offer other services, don't you? Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes, absolutely. So we also offer educational consultancy. So having taught in a variety of schools, as I've mentioned beforehand, I have a lot of experience with that. And we have a team of qualified educational psychologists, again, who have worked in lots of schools around the areas. We've visited lots of schools, so lots of schools are familiar with us, and we can create reports for parents, we can meet with parents, discuss kind of the needs of their child, and give a list of suggestions of places that might be suitable options for them to investigate further.
Okay, and you do provide homeschooling or advice around that topic?
We tend to do that more as a short-term filler. So the aim for us, you know, we understand the importance of being in a school environment, but we do also understand that for certain reasons, children might need to be removed for a certain amount of time due to either behaviour problems. Families, often we get international families that are moving, so we do some support work with them, but mostly on the whole we do shorter homeschooling sessions to boost them up to where they need to be, and then reintroduce them into school.
Can I ask you a question, because this is kind of connected in so in your experience and your teachers, what environment do you think is best for the children to absorb the education, extra lessons? Do you have a particular environment that you think works better for them?
So we as in where would the tutoring be the best environment for the tutoring to take place?
Yeah, for them to absorb it and without any, you know, disruptions.
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely think in the home environment, because they're in their home, they're comfortable. We always ensure with parents that the teacher has got a desk, they've got a chair, and they're in a quiet area so that they are away from any distractions. And then you tend to find that they're ready to focus and they've got nothing around them and they're just set
hopefully
to go.
Ready to go. And and also, you're talking about homeschooling, it is definitely on the up, isn't it, in the UK, and the support. Have you noticed that yourself then?
I have, yes. We've definitely had, in the last 12 months, we've definitely had more inquiries regarding homeschooling and the processes and the benefits of that. So I definitely have seen an increase in that.
Is that beneficial to you as a tutoring company then, homeschooling, or has it not made any difference?
Yes and no. We do have several teachers that do the homeschooling, but as I said, at the moment we're mostly doing short-term homeschooling rather than all the way through their education. Again, I think that's just the families that we've had and the circumstances that have been surrounding that. So, of course, we're happy to help any families that are looking for homeschooling.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
As
yeah.
well. So, yeah.
Are there other companies that do what you do? Because I haven't noticed too many around and about.
Yes, I think there are quite a few tutoring companies out there nowadays. I think the difference with us and what sets us apart is that we are all fully qualified teachers. We're all exceedingly good teachers, and we're able to make sure that we provide the right support for families. We also have, you know, we do all of our security checks, we have our references, they're current and up to date. So the majority of our teachers are all in full-time education or part-time education, and we ensure that they have the correct kind of up-to-date curriculum knowledge, really.
And do you have any particular success stories that you could share?
Oh, wow, that's a tricky one. We have lots of lovely families and lovely children. I think I would say the most rewarding ones are the families where you get children who are falling behind in schools. They're extremely shy, they're really lacking in confidence, and I think just seeing, we've had numerous children where we've had someone work with them and they've just kind of built up that confidence, started to, you know, we've looked at questioning skills, confidence techniques, and just encourage them of ways and strategies and things that they could apply in the school environment to help them. And then when they come to us to have that intensive one-to-one, you've got that bond and that relationship where they're happy to talk about things that maybe they didn't understand at school, that they didn't feel comfortable to ask about. And I think then we've just seen huge, you know, success stories of children now, you know, joining debating clubs when before they wouldn't even speak out, and things like that. So I think lots of things around confidence has been key.
Yeah, I think a lot of parents are surprised that they, you know, that people consider a tutor, some parents. Mm-hmm. For us, it was absolutely necessary because even though the school was great, there's always something, you know, that it might not be perfect for them and they might lack in confidence. And it has been amazing for one of our children. Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend getting a tutor. It's invaluable, actually. And I think a lot of parents need to know more about it, because I think that's one thing I wanted to ask about you. There's a lot of overwhelm at schools, mm-hmm. within the schools, and all the measuring that's going on. Have you noticed a difference in that? Has that, because it seems to have increased?
It does, yes, absolutely. And I think from a younger age, the children are aware that they're being tested, which I think beforehand wasn't always the case. So again, I think that's where the tutoring is really beneficial, and looking and saying, okay, let's break this down step by step. Mm. There's these things that we can work on, and just kind of also focusing on making sure that it's fun. You can learn these things in a fun way. It doesn't have to all be, you know, sit down, here's an exam paper. And I think that's where we're different. We look at, you know, if we've got a boy that's struggling with writing or a girl that's struggling with writing, we think, what are the things outside of school that they enjoy? And then we'll incorporate our writing around that. So we're giving them all of the right skills and the things that they would need for the exams and the tests, but we're doing it around a topic that they really enjoy. So we've just got a bit more flexibility than they have at school.
Yeah, and absolutely, you mentioned exams, so important, isn't it, Penny? I think for getting them ready for the exams.
I don't have children, but every single one of my friends do. And I don't know if you can comment on this, but one of the biggest impacts with children sort of from 11 upwards seems to be social media. Mm-hmm. And does that come into your tutoring at all, feedback that you get from your children?
I don't think, not hugely with our secondary age children, actually, I must say, but I think that's probably because they know that they've got a set hour and they have the hour to focus on whatever it is they're studying. So I think we don't have too much to do with the kind of social media and that side of things at the moment.
Oh, it's just interesting to hear, you know, whether that is impacting as much as we maybe think Absolutely. It would be in mm-hmm. the day to day.
So I'm afraid, Katie, it goes so quick, doesn't it, at the time? Well, unfortunately, we've come to that point in the programme where we usually ask our guests for some advice. So is there any particular message you'd like to share with our listeners today, particularly perhaps someone who has a child and they're wondering what to do, should they get a tutor, and what's the first steps that they should make to find the right tutor? Obviously, they're going to come to you.
Indeed.
But what signs would they look out for?
I think it's very important for any parent that is, you know, concerned about their child for whatever reason or just wanting to give them a little bit of an extra boost. It's worth speaking to a qualified person that's going to take the time to get to know their child, figure out what it is that they are looking for and how they can help support them, making sure that they have got someone that's confident and a specialist in the area that they're teaching, and someone that's fun and friendly and will be able to relate to their child to make sure that they're actually able to work together. So in our company, what we always say is we do our very best to match people correctly, and so far with hundreds of families we've worked with, we've not had to change a tutor. However, we do always That's say good. To the families that after the first lesson, for them to provide us with feedback about our tutors. They're able to rate our tutors, and our tutors are able to give back feedback about the families to make sure that they feel on both sides that they're well paired. And you know, it's quite a long relationship that we yes. have. Most people that tutor with us are on average with us for 2 to 3 years.
So that's great advice and hugely reassuring to our parents out there who are listeners. So thank you very much. And what we also need, we'd like our listeners to be able to contact you. So should they contact you via email or website? Could you give out your details?
Yes, absolutely. So our website is currently being revamped. So that will be all, it's live at the moment, but we'll be reset with our new website coming next month, but our website is www.katiejane.co.uk,
and that's Katie
KATIEJAYNE.
That's brilliant. And is that another contact?
Yeah, we also on the website we have all of our contact numbers, okay. phone numbers, and email as well that they can reach us on.
Thank you so much. So thank you. That was Katie from Katie Jane Tutoring. We're now going to take a short break, after which we'll be talking to Sophie Hander from Funky Olive. So don't go away.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons. One in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
Elegance, heritage and luxury characterise the Mitre Hotel in Hampton Court. On the Thames, alongside Hampton Court Palace, the Mitre provides a beautiful setting for that special celebration, from a stylish birthday party to an elegant wedding in the private pavilion suite with direct access onto the riverside terrace. The terrace restaurant, with its panoramic views across the river, offers a tasty and delicious menu, including the traditional scrumptious Sunday roast. And be prepared for delicious dishes with organic, homegrown and, wherever possible, locally sourced ingredients. To book your unique experience, call 0208 979 9988. A perfect venue for a perfect celebration. The Mitre Hotel, Hampton Court.
Brooklyn's Radio's audience is growing. Potential listeners are listening, but are they hearing your message? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know about internet radio, or maybe I should wait. Well, instead, think about it this way. Do you want to be one of the first businesses like yours to advertise on internet radio, or the last? So why not tap into the power of Brooklyn's Radio easily and affordably? Contact Fiona through sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. That's sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. Brooklyn's Radio, loving Surrey Radio. Brooklyn's Radio.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
And welcome back to Just Women with me, Penny Carter, and my co-presenter, Mandy Dineley. Yeah. We'd now like to welcome Sophie Hander of Funky Olive Handmade. So welcome, Sophie.
Hi, thank you.
Could I start by asking you a little bit about your business? What is Funky Olive Handmade?
Funky Olive Handmade. Currently, I hand make bespoke lampshades. I started out several years ago, and Funky Olive was, I was a jewellery designer for many years. But 6 years ago, I retrained with what I really love, interiors, and I make lampshades.
Fantastic. So I had a little look at your website and they look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So what makes you passionate about what you do?
I think I've always been creative. I've always loved interiors, and I'm a huge magpie when it comes to textiles. So I needed to do something with all the textiles that I buy. And I thought I can make lampshades.
Fantastic. And how did you learn your trade?
I was taught by another professional and just started to make them. It was, 6 years ago now. So,
where do you get your textiles from then? Where do you...
Oh, gosh, go all over. I buy from a lot of the big sort of textile houses, Harlequin and some of the big names. But I also like to look overseas. I buy a lot of fabric from the States when the dollar rate's good, and from Australia too. So
how can you tell? Do you buy? So when you buy overseas, is it online?
It is online.
So because it's very tactile, isn't it?
That must be quite hard. It's difficult. I've always been pretty good at choosing colours and things, and I've been to date really lucky with what I've bought online, because you never know quite what's going to arrive in the post.
No, have you had any disappointments or surprises?
No, I think I've been really lucky, but it's not so much disappointment. I've been surprised at some colours, but then I thought, actually, it's still beautiful.
I have to say, looking on your website, the fabrics that you use over the years, because I've been watching you for a few years, they are really, and some very current fabric choices you choose as well.
Thank you.
And changing. And you also, you do workshops as well, don't you?
I do.
Can you tell us about your workshops?
Sure. I operate them from my home in Hampshire. I have up to 2 people at a time who come, and I teach them to make lampshades. But I've also teach a lot of just the general public, but also professionals, sort of interior designers, wow, who'll come and learn to add sort of, you know, an extra string to their bow, so to speak.
Do they have to bring anything, or you just...
No, I provide everything, unless somebody particularly has a certain fabric they want to match into a current interior, then they can bring fabric. If not, I have cupboards full for them to choose from.
So how long would it take to make, say, just a fairly standard...
to make a sort of a simple drum, my workshops are 2.5 hours, and within that time they'll learn and take home a sort of a drum work, yeah.
And when you say drum, I know what you mean because I've been looking on the website, but can
it
you...
It literally looks like a drum shape, obviously. Yeah. You can add a diffuser at the bottom to sort of hide out the lamp, the bulb, but it literally looks like a drum, so it's a drum shape. But you can also make the coulis shapes and empire shapes, all different shapes.
What's popular at the moment? Is there a shape that's more popular than others?
I predominantly make drum shape, which seems to be a sort of the more modern choice now. I don't make traditional shapes, the soft sort of shapes. That takes a lot more work and sewing, and I can't sew.
I did notice that. You don't need to be able to sew.
No,
so even somebody with my ability level would be okay to
absolutely
come
to you. We'd go to have a class. We could, yep, couldn't we?
You just need to be good at ironing.
No.
No.
You to iron your fabric flat. But other than that, no.
That's Mandy and I out. But I also noticed that you have drum kits for sale online as well.
Yes, I do. I sell all the materials needed so someone can actually, you can make your own. Yeah, they're really simple to make.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah. I wish I'd known about that when I'd first bought my flat and started to furnish. And the fabrics look really flamboyant. Well, anything from quite plain right through to flamboyant.
And you can not only use fabric, you can use paper, wallpaper, all sorts of old maps. You could make a lampshade out of all sorts of different things.
So are there any materials that you can't use because of the heat and light?
No, anything you, that... you can use anything because the panel is coated with a fire retardant substance. So it's as soon as if it were to catch fire, it, as soon as it hits the panel, it puts it straight out.
Oh,
so you can use anything.
So you lay the fabrics or whatever the materials
onto
the panel.
A special treated panel. So
yeah. Oh, I want to go. I want to make one.
they look amazing.
Thank
and
you.
And really quite striking.
Mm. Yeah.
They really do make an impression in a room.
It's
don't
a
they?
Really simple way to update and change a room, and a cheap way to update a room.
Well, when I looked on the site, I wanted to see other items that you'd made from fabric. Is that something that you would consider in the future that you could?
Plus, I get asked a lot. Do I, you know, make blinds or other sort of furnishings? It's for me. I can't sew. I could sew a button on, but I wouldn't want to make somebody's curtains for them.
And I guess if you found your niche, which then that's a great thing, isn't it? Because these days it is all about having a niche.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it keeps me busy enough. So
yes. Yeah, so how often do you run your workshops?
I tend to run sort of once a week. I'll have people coming sort of, normally two or three a month I'll run.
Do you have a waiting list? I bet you have a waiting list.
I don't, but I'm booked as far ahead as October already. So,
well, that's great.
Yes.
So if you wanted to take me and Mandy on for a two-person workshop, what sort of cost would be involved?
Prices start from just £50. That will include all of your materials, and you'll take home your own lampshade, plus, obviously, my expert tuition to
of
make
course.
It.
Yes. I do, actually. We were talking about the designs. And there are some quirky materials as well, which I love. I know you went through a stage where you had foxes were really popular, weren't they?
It still is.
Yes.
The Mr. Fox design, it amazes me. It's been around for years, and it's as popular today as it
has been. It
makes
me smile. Mm. I think if a lampshade can make you smile... And your lampshades do, they make me smile.
Oh, thank you.
But how difficult was it to go from making jewellery, which is, well, it's still intricate, isn't it?
Lampshades, a lot more intricate,
yes. How easy was that?
It was, for me, it was really easy. Making lampshades, I found a lot easier than doing jewellery.
Mm.
They're sort of fairly similar because you still have to choose your colours and sort of textures, and I think moving on from jewellery, because I've always had my passion for interiors, it was just a natural step for me.
Mm. And so what would be your advice to somebody who might be interested in doing something similar themselves?
To make them, I would suggest they book on one of my workshops.
Yes.
And they can come and learn from me, and then to take it from there. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you run your workshops in the... I should have asked this before, but do you run them in the morning or the afternoon, or does it differ?
I usually run them in the morning, so from sort of 10 till half 12.
Mm.
And I quite often will then book them in for lunch at the pub up the road.
Oh, that's...
We're sold again.
Yes, we are. We're in. What about the name Funky Olive?
Oh.
How did that? Is that a question you've been asked loads of times?
Yes, people always assume I'm Olive,
but
or
you're
Funky,
not.
And I'm neither particularly. But I always wanted a company name that had nothing to do with what I did, and obviously starting out with jewellery, I sat and chose a name, but I always wanted a name that I could always keep, no matter what I made or did. So
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so that I could change what I did and it wouldn't matter.
And do you advertise your lampshades on social media? And if so, which is the most popular platform?
Whilst I have a big following on Facebook, my preference is with Instagram.
Mm. I love Instagram.
I find it really instant.
Yes.
I've found some amazing inspirational accounts that I follow, and that's where I tend to put a lot of my work. on social media.
I should imagine Instagram being hugely
visual, isn't it?
It is visual, and I think with something like lampshades, it needs to be.
So. Do you do any exhibitions or fairs?
I used to do a lot. Most weekends I used to be out selling, certainly with my jewellery, I had to be. But with lampshades, they don't tend to travel so well. And I have found over the years that people don't tend to go to a show wanting to buy a lampshade. So for me, it didn't work and it wasn't the best way to go.
And so the Instagram and word of mouth, would it...
Word of mouth
what generates
and
the
through
interest?
My website, and I also sell on another handmade website called Etsy, which is worldwide.
Yeah, is that proving quite
for me
useful?
It's fantastic. Yeah, that's where I probably get about 80% of my sales.
Mm, that's so amazing.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
But there's quite a few people on Etsy. How do you ensure that you stand out? Because you'll be giving secrets away. Don't give any secrets away.
I keep my pricing competitive to other people. I sort of keep a keen eye on what competitors are doing. But then I've never worried about what my competitors are doing. It's never bothered me. So you just have to be confident in your own brand and just be out there. And for me, it's worked.
Would eBay be a channel for you?
It could be. There are all sorts of channels, I think, and I just need to try them. But for now, I'm busy enough with where I do sell. So
I do like Etsy. I think it's great for creative people.
There's a lot more.
It's a good place to be.
Yes.
What about Pinterest? Do you ever...
I use Pinterest from a personal point of view because I love looking at interiors and all sorts of things. So for me, that's fantastic. From a business point, I've never sold anything through.
No.
But different platforms, I think, work for different people.
But word of mouth is the most valuable.
Yeah.
If you do well through word of mouth, then that's fantastic, isn't it, really?
Yes, absolutely.
Best marketing anyone could have.
Absolutely.
Did your background in IT marketing come in useful then with your business?
Yes, it has. Although I'm quite good at telling other people what they should be doing. And not so much following my own advice. But yes, having spent many years in IT marketing, which I found really dull, but it's been incredibly useful, yes. But it's so fast changing as well.
Oh, yes.
With social media and things now, the marketing now is different to how I used to market.
It's almost unrecognisable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of my depth on social media, certain platforms.
Yes.
LinkedIn works for me, but I can understand Instagram and Etsy working for you because of the visual aspect.
Yes.
Well, I seem to be the one who spoils it because, unfortunately, again, we've come to the end of our chat with you, Sophie. So it remains for me to ask if you have any particular advice you might like to share with our listeners, particularly someone who's interested in revamping their lampshades.
Yeah, absolutely. Get in touch. I'm happy to work with customers with their existing interiors to search and source new fabrics for them and work with them so that they can get in touch and take it from there, really.
Well, that's great to know, actually, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know that they can reuse their or revamp.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for that. And if anyone would like to get in touch with you, would that be via your website?
Or? Yeah, the best way to get in touch is through the website, which is funkyolive.co.uk. All my contact details and email are on there.
And your Instagram.
And all the Instagram links and social media links.
They can follow you at Funky Olive, on Instagram.
They can, Funky
Lovely.
Olive.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Sophie, for coming
on
to the
Mandy.
Show.
Thank you for having me.
And we'd love to have you on again in the future. We love having our guests back. Time for another short break, after which we'll be talking all things essential oils and hearing from Victoria Page from VIP Therapies. You won't want to miss this, so don't go away.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
If you're looking for an evening of the smooth rhythms of soul and Motown, or perhaps the vibrant moves of Dirty Dancing and Grease, then you'll want to head over to the Holiday Inn Shepperton, your number one venue for tribute acts. And if you're planning your wedding, our beautiful event suites and attractive lakeside grounds are the perfect backdrop for wedding photographs that capture everlasting memories.
and be assured that from your first visit, our dedicated wedding coordinator will be on hand to assist you every step of the way. Call 01932 899 33. The Holiday Inn, Shepperton, the perfect venue, whatever the occasion.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
Picture this, a Sunday lunchtime carvery where you can eat as much as you want with a choice of one, two or three courses. You're free to help yourself to succulent pork, beef, chicken or gammon, and if you wish, you can have them all. Add in a homely, family-orientated environment with free parking, and you have your perfect destination for the perfect Sunday lunch. It's all here at the Best Western Ship Hotel by Monument Green, High Street, Weybridge. Book now on 0800 393 130. We're one of the most welcoming places to eat in Weybridge.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with myself, Mandy Dynley, together with Penny Carter. So today our third guest is Victoria Page from VIP Therapies. Lovely to have you on the show, Victoria.
Thank you, Mandy. It's lovely to be here.
It's great for you to be here. Can you please give us a little bit about your background and how you became a therapist and your love of essential oils?
Oh, yes, love to. So for many years I worked in admin, just doing jobs that, yeah, I was good at, but didn't really fulfil my passion for something that was a bit more worthwhile or fulfilling. And one day I had a Reiki healing treatment and I was just so amazed by the experience, I never forgot about it. A couple of years later, I was having my legs waxed of all things, and I noticed that the therapist, she had a Reiki healing certificate. So I was so intrigued and said, I want to do it. So she gave me some details and I then went and learned it. And that was the start of learning many, many therapies. And the third therapy I learned was aromatherapy. And that really inspired me hugely. The senses, stimulating the senses, the sense of smell. I had some very nice experiences when I was doing my case studies. So it was always there in the background.
The way you said aromatherapy, it just aromatherapy. So you absolutely love it. Of course, aromatherapy has been around for hundreds of years.
Yes.
And they're very powerful.
Yes, they are. I was actually in Egypt a couple of years ago and I was stood outside a room that we couldn't go in. It was huge and it was actually in a temple and it used to be their aromatherapy room. It was just amazing. So that's the Egyptians, ancient Egyptians. It's just one place that they use them.
Yeah, they're very clever, aren't they?
Absolutely. And just for listeners who might not know what Reiki is, can you give us a brief description, please?
Okay, yes. So it's energy healing, and it's healing that's channeled through the person that's giving it and through their hands going towards or going onto and into the recipient. And it works on a physical, emotional and spiritual level. So it helps with things like pain, definitely helps with stress and emotions, anxiety, grief. And sometimes if we feel a little bit disconnected from the world and what's going on outside our lives, then it can just help you to feel more grounded and present.
So your first Reiki experience, can you describe what happened?
Well, I wasn't really aware of exactly what was happening, but the effects over the next couple of weeks, I woke up 2 weeks after having had this treatment and I just felt like I'd woken up from a long dream. And I'd said to my boyfriend at the time, where have I been? What's been going on? Have I seemed different? And he said, yes, you've been in a dream. You've not really been here. And everything just seemed to look different. I know something had changed inside. I didn't know what it was. But it was quite mystical. So I never forgot it.
So do you think it's an energy? I mean, obviously you know what it is, but from my experience, it's an energy, moving energy around. Yeah. How would you describe it as a professional?
Well, sometimes it feels like heat or coolness. If anybody's ever had acupuncture, sometimes you feel, 'cause that's working on the meridian lines in the body, sometimes you feel like a little tremor in the body, or you just feel an unusual feeling, and we would just say it's energy removing a blockage or working on a blockage. So it's quite hard to define in words, and it's something that you definitely have to feel, because we all feel things differently, but it always works on what the person needs.
So what can I ask you what the difference is between angelic Reiki and traditional, how do you pronounce that?
Asui. So with angelic Reiki, it's just working on a higher vibration. So if we think about angels, we may imagine them with wings or, that's how, or feathers. So we think of them just being light, I suppose. Whereas I find that with traditional Reiki, it's much more grounding and really works on the physical body. And often we may think of angels for comfort or, that's it really. Mm. Yeah, it's quite, again, it's hard to define because it's how you experience it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the angelic side of things. But very interested in the variety of treatments that are available through yourself. So that must have taken quite a long time to qualify in those various elements that you practice.
Yes, I would be a permanent student in life if I could. I just love learning. I just want to learn everything. The more I learn, the more I want to learn. So yes, in the early days, it was more sort of practical treatments, like massage, reflexology, ear candling, and aromatherapy, and right at the start was Reiki. And since then, I've done courses and training in different types of healing. And but as I've gone on, obviously have more experience. And so when somebody comes to me for a treatment, what I really love is to be able to give them what they need on the day. Mm. Sometimes it could be half and half of a treatment.
Do you find you need do you get a better response from somebody you find a stronger connection with?
I think it's more if they have a stronger connection with me. So definitely, yes, there has to be a really good connection between therapist and client, because otherwise you're not going to fit. If you don't feel relaxed or safe or comfortable, then you're going to not get the most out of your treatment at all. So I feel it's more like the other way around. So as a professional person, I know that I can give a good treatment to anybody.
Do you use your essential oils with all the treatments? I mean, would you have one diffusing in the background while you're... I can imagine you would with the Reiki. Yes. How lovely would that
yes.
be?
Yes, I use them in probably nearly all my treatments. I rarely don't use them, I suppose. Mm. And there would be different smells for different situations. So if somebody was maybe feeling a little down or depressed or tired, then something like lemon or orange, anything that's uplifting, and citrus would be fabulous. Equally, if they're really stressed and tired, something like lavender or the floral oils would be lovely. And if they need a bit of waking up, then something like peppermint. So there really is something for everything.
There's so many essential oils out there. I love them. I think they really do evoke a lot of emotions, don't they? And memories.
Yes.
Can I just ask you, while we're talking about essential oils, you mentioned that reading the notes that they helped you at a particular time. Would you be able to tell us
of
about
course,
that?
Yes.
Because I think that's really important for the listeners.
Yes. So in 2015, actually a couple of years before that, I was diagnosed with end stage endometriosis, and I had fibroids and organs were stuck together. And I was trying to avoid having a hysterectomy. I was determined I was going to sort things out myself. At the end of the day, after a couple of years of trying different things, I wasn't able to stop having surgery. But prior to surgery, I used certain essential oils every day religiously. I helped myself with changing my diet and just generally cleansing my body in preparation for surgery. And alongside having some Bowen therapy, which helps to release the fascia in the body, when the surgeon opened me up on the operating table, he told me the following day when he was chatting to see how I was, he said, I actually had to check I had the right scan results. He said it was, you looked so different inside. But not only that, I came out of hospital really early. I healed really quickly and I didn't get an infection, which was kind of half expected. So for me, that was my victory. I had my loss and I didn't want to have had the operation, but it was amazing and the best that it could have been. So the essential oils, I use them every day. I use them in treatments. I use them for me. I use them for everybody. And I even share them in the post office. So I've got an oil for everything.
So do you have your own therapist that you go to? Do you have somebody who treats you?
I do. I have a lovely lady who, she is also a very good aromatherapist. She also does angelic Reiki, and we do a lovely swap. So I give her healing and she gives me a lovely massage and a facial. It's just delicious. So we do that once a month, but I could really do with a treatment every week, so I need some more.
So if somebody were feeling out of sorts in whatever way, could they call you up for a telephone consultation?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I love talking about essential oils. I can talk about it for hours. So, yes, I love to help people. So even just a conversation over the phone, I'm happy to share, yeah.
And I see you also do workshops.
I do, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes, so essential oils have really kind of taken over my life, and they're really lovely to share in workshops. I do different topics. I tend to go, or I seem to be doing more of their sort of esoteric or intangible connections with the chakras, working with the chakra system and the archangels. Basically, essential oils can be used in all aspects of life, in our lives, so physically, emotionally and spiritually. And with being a healer, then I just love that energetic connection. So they're brilliant, they're fascinating, and everybody gets to make their own blend according to their own preference and their needs. And it's just so much fun. And one thing I always say to people is that the nose knows. That's what I was taught at college. So you can't go wrong. If you smell it and you like it, then it's good for you.
And everybody's going to be different in terms of what they're attracted to, based on their energy at any particular time.
Yeah, and it can change from day to day as well. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got over 100 oils, so I can choose.
Indulge.
Yes.
Do you have favourites? You must have.
Oh, I do. At the moment, I'm using an oil called Arbor Vitae, which is actually a tree from the tree that the Native Americans use to make their canoes and other wooden items.
So is it woody?
It's very woody. And it's...
that sounds silly, but it must be woody.
it is, and it really smells like a wood yard. That lovely, fresh...
Oh, I do like that. Oh, I love the smell of wood.
Now you've got me going. Yes. Have you got one that's like fresh-cut grass?
Yes. I love all the herbally ones. So there's rosemary. So it's not quite cut grass.
No.
But there's herbal ones that would be like that.
I personally love bergamot and rose. Absolute, is it?
Yes. Oh, rose. We call that the queen of the oils.
Is that the very expensive one?
She's
as well?
A beautiful oil. Yes. They have personalities.
And how would we use rose oil then?
Rose oil, because it's so expensive, they have to use so much, so many petals, thousands and thousands, to make a tiny amount. So it's always diluted in a carrier oil. And so you could have a have it made up in a carrier oil, and then you can just roller it on or massage it into your body, your feet, or diffuse it in a diffuser.
Oh, I just want to smell them all now.
What's the quality? What does that rose oil bring? I don't know that one.
Okay, so it would be really good for, on a physical level, it would be really good for mature skin. So it's really good for dry skin. It's going to be helping to balance the hormones. So I always say it's one of the ladies' oils. Definitely good for ladies, no matter what age you are. It's very gentle, yet it's extremely powerful, so it's a good one for most things.
I just need to point out with your oils that because of the oils that you sell, you can put them, some of them, on the skin, whereas yes. some other essential oils you can't, and you yes. always have to read the label or take advice,
definitely.
Don't you?
Definitely. Yes, I use a very high quality oil so that they're safe to use, slightly different to how I was college trained, and I'm just so pleased I can, because I know that's what made my own surgery
so
successful.
Just going back to the oil very, very quickly, if children are going through exams at the moment, which they are, what's a good oil to put in a diffuser while they're, you know, trying to distress them?
Rosemary. It's really good for the memory. Another oil would be lemon, so that helps us focus. So lemon, rosemary, and peppermint, that would be quite stimulating. It's good for helping help you stay awake and concentrate. So those three would be really, really good.
And where do you have your workshops?
Have you
told us that? You haven't yet?
I haven't. They're actually being held at the Surrey Wellbeing Clinic in Farnham.
Yeah.
Surrey and Hampshire Wellbeing Clinic in Farnham. And you can find out the details of those from my website.
You can give that out later. Yeah, we're not quite there. Oh, no, we are. We're nearly there. Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, so we'll get your website in a minute.
Yes.
So I can't believe we're running out of time and my head is just full of essential oils. Is yours, Penny?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Hope she's bought some with her.
Yes.
I have.
Have you?
I've got some.
All right.
I'm wearing lavender at the moment because it's really good for communication.
Oh,
so as I'm using my voice
well tonight,
I hope so.
That's us for the next year then, Penny. We'll have to buy a whole gallon.
Definitely.
No. So, Victoria, is there any advice that you could offer our listeners, particularly those who want to use essential oils but are slightly overwhelmed by the amount of oils that are out there? Mm. Where would you suggest they start?
I would say to get themselves a really good book. I can recommend a brilliant book, which has now become my new oil bible. And it's called Modern Essentials.
Okay.
And you can contact me if you want some more information, of course. But definitely get a really good book. If you don't know an aromatherapist, if you want to look up an aromatherapist, then just make sure that they are qualified and insured.
And that's really important.
That's very important.
Great advice. Thank you. And also, that was great advice to the listeners. So if they would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Through your email or website?
Yes. So with my website, which is www.vip-therapies.com, and I've got a contact page on there.
Okay.
I could give you my email address.
If you like, yeah.
Yes. That is relax@vip-therapies.com.
And all of the details of the workshops are on there?
Yes, there'll be a link there.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you, Victoria. That was wonderful.
You.
I'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Katie Jane from Katie Jane Tutoring, Sophie Hander from Funky Olive Handmade, and Victoria Page from VIP Therapies. And also a big thanks to my co-presenter, Penny Carter. Also, thank you to Graham Laycock, who helped produce the show for us this evening.
Oh, thank you so much, Mandy. And just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know someone who you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, if you could get them on the future show, that would be absolutely brilliant. And you can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday and repeated at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dineley.
And it's goodbye from me, Penny Carter.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.